This is Toon Talk Weekly, episode 196. This week, Brad and I grab a camera and make our own home movie when we watch an episode of Muppet Babies.
Hi, kids.
Hi, Mommy.
I thought you might like to play with this for a while.
Yay!
Hey, boy!
What are these?
Yippee-skippy!
What is it?
It's a video camera and recorder. I rented it to record my tennis game so I could study my swing.
Our own movies.
How does it work, Annie?
It's simple, really. All you do is hold the camera like this and pull the trigger to make it record.
And you turn this to keep it in focus. I saw a newsman do it on TV.
You've got about an hour to play with it, then I have to return it to the store. So have fun, but be careful with it.
I'm going to be a movie star!
They just keep getting better.
Everybody, it's Tuesday once again. That means it's time for another episode of the Weekly Cartoon Podcast, Toon Talk Weekly. That, of course, is this show. Thank you once again for joining us this week to talk about some cartoons. I'm Jake Williams, but I got a co-host here. I can't do this show alone. I brought my good buddy, Brad Chmielewski. What's up this week, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Lack of sleep. I'm exhausted. that's how it's going.
You just drink more coffee, and then you will function at my level.
There's a certain coffee level of Brad, and that's what I'm aiming for. And it turns out, if you want to get there, a way to stimulate that is just get a new puppy, and you're going to need way more coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So, lots of, even this morning before work, I was noticing that I woke up way earlier than I needed to, and before our usual call around 10 o'clock, 10:30, I went up to get a cup of coffee, and it was gone. Like, I had finished it all, because...
That's a good sign you're on your way to drinking enough coffee.
Yeah. If you finish it before the call, you're doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so new puppy this weekend. That's been my new project, and it's a lot of work, man. I see now why you have cats.
Yeah. Even though my cats are jerks and, you know, they're needy, needy cats.
Yeah, maybe there is no in-between. You get a pet, it's just work, right?
Fish, man. Fish are pretty good. A snake? I don't know.
I feel like we were just at one of the pet stores buying some supplies, and I feel like we saw fish, and my wife was just like, "What a dumb pet!" like, what do you do with that? You just sit there. But all I ever picture with fish is like Master P crib style fish tanks that just like go around an entire room. Now that's what you do with fish.
That's what you need. Yeah.
You know. But we're not here to talk about puppies or cats or fish, any of that stuff. We're here to talk cartoons, as we do every single week.
And we're here to talk babies, nonetheless.
Yeah, babies. Like, this is way harder than anything we're complaining about right now. We're going to talk about Muppet Babies this week, the popular cartoon from, you know, late 80s, early 90s era. This show was actually around, looks like before either of us was born. I guess it was a little bit more of your era, but man, this thing ran forever. This was a show that I remember watching as a kid, and when I think about it now, I can't tell you if I liked it or not. Like, there was one of those shows, you know, those shows that just are a little bit polarizing, like, well, mm-hmm. Wild Thornberrys is a bad example, but that was on a lot, and I hated it, so I didn't watch it. But this show, actually, a fun thing I looked up was that episodes of the show are 30 minutes, so they definitely feel a little bit slower. It is the incarnation of the Muppets, the Jim Henson characters, as babies, and I think it is aimed at a younger audience, but there is some smart writing in there for older adults, but... It was shown in 60 or 90 minute blocks when it was really, really popular. So it would show like three episodes back to back.
That's why I think I feel like I watched a lot of it. It felt like it was on a ton.
Not only is that theme song forever burned into my brain, and I'm unsure yet if in this edit, the edit of this episode, guys, if I've decided I'm going to put it in there or not, because you'll just start singing it. It'll be in your head for days. I don't know if I want to do that. But just something about this show was crazy popular. Of course, created by Jim Henson, creator of The Muppets, so it, you know, it makes sense. It aired from September 15th, 1984 to November 2nd, 91 on CBS. It was 8 total seasons, 107 episodes. That's a lot of cartoon. And I guess the idea of the Muppets appearing as children first appeared in a dream sequence in the film The Muppets Take Manhattan, which was 1984. And that was actually released 2 months before The Muppet Babies debuted. I got to imagine the cartoon was maybe in production by then.
Right, yeah.
So they use the movie as like a springboard to like, hey, test this baby's thing.
Hey, we got this thing coming. What do you guys think? Excited? Hint, hint.
Please buy our stuff. it was produced by Jim Henson's company. Or sorry, Jim Henson's company. It's called the Jim Henson Company. That's like saying... We make videos at Brad Chmielewski's company, not the Brad Chmielewski company, right? And Marvel Productions, which is hilarious because the rights are now held by a Walt Disney company that basically owns the Jim Henson stuff and the Marvel stuff these days.
Yeah, so this funny because this episode just felt like a big precursor for...
Oh, yeah, okay. I actually didn't connect those until reading these notes here. And as you mentioned, this played a lot, like 60 to 90 minute blocks, so 2 to 3 episodes back to back. It's almost like what a cartoon or what a when a show is crazy popular. I remember SpongeBob doing this. That show would be on for like 2 hours. It felt like they just were like, I don't know, everyone loves SpongeBob, put the show on,
everyone likes it, yeah, just keep going, it's fine.
Now I want to watch some SpongeBob. That sounds great. Let's talk about the story of the Muppet Babies, what we can expect, what little story there is, rather. The Muppet Babies live in a large nursery that's watched over the character known as Nanny, who is only ever seen from the shoulders down. Very much the teachers in Charlie Brown kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the babies' imaginary games transition from the nursery into scenes that become, quote-unquote, real to the babies. And the central idea of each episode is basically the power of imagination. So...
Well, which you don't always think of, but in this episode, it's a really funny line. Like, Gonzo has a line where he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not imaginating hard enough.
Right.
Or I'm not pretending hard enough or something like that. It was like, oh, that's really funny to hear them, like, figure it out. Like, oh, yeah, I'm not doing it right.
Right. Not only is that a call to the audience to be like, oh, you know, pretend. Like, keep imagining. It's fun. And you can make up these cool worlds. It's like a... almost like a weird fourth wall thing a little bit. Like,
yeah, a little bit.
Some of the, you know, this is cool thinking back to being a kid, especially on like the kindergarten playground, the games you would play with your friends with just whatever objects or things you had, is probably some of the greatest times of being a kid, really. I remember having I don't remember the game we played. It was either something to do with Dragon Ball Z or something to do with Power Rangers, but we had a bag of marbles on the playground. And we would use those as our, like, you know, whatever enemies were fighting, we'd be fake dancing around and kicking and stuff. But we'd use the marbles to, like, power up, basically. Like, grab a marble, throw it down, and then and pretend you're, you know, just cool stuff like that. And I think Muppet Babies tries to capture the spirit of what you would do as a group of kids playing together.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to talk about a little bit of it's kind of the production, but basically how they handle this imagination. They... oftentimes, I forgot this show totally did this, so I was kind of caught off guard watching this episode this week. Lots of stock footage or footage from popular things, whatever the episode might be about, where it's essentially, you know, you might get an episode that starts with the Muppets, the babies rather, in the nursery talking about what might happen, and then suddenly they're standing on like, oh, I'm surfing, and here's a yeah. surf like wave thing. This show is Gumball before Gumball.
Yeah, and they did a good job. Like, it's crazy to think the amount of work that probably went into this at the time and the effort. I don't know. It just felt like a lot must have gone into it.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy to find all of those things. Okay, look, I'm not going to praise every little bit of it. Like, there's definitely some scenes that just look a little strange. In this episode in particular, there's a moment where Kermit and Miss Piggy are reading some lines about he's a hero and saved her, but the room that they're standing in just looks like, okay, they're just standing on a stock photo. Like, it's kind of... archival photo in this case. So kind of interesting. I got a very, like... It reminded me, and granted it was before these shows, but of what SpongeBob does sometimes and what Gumball does sometimes. Of course, Gumball Gumball maybe is a little bit more mixed media, right? It doesn't necessarily just use video. It's just the collage of sort of having real stuff with cartoon stuff. So kind of interesting, but that's what you can expect from an episode of Muppet Babies. However, if you're around 30-something years old like Brad and I, you probably know what to expect from the Muppet Babies. You also watched it a ton as a kid because it was on all the time. And the characters in the show are a lot of the same popular characters from the Muppets in baby form. Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, Animal, Scooter, who has a sister, Skeeter, in this, who I believe is only shown in this series. I don't think she was a regular Muppet. Maybe she is later.
Yeah, I don't think she was.
Rolf the Dog and Gonzo, those are the main Muppets that you end up following. Later on, they add more of the Muppets that you know and love, like Dr. Bunsen, Beaker shows up.
Oh, that's right. They weren't in this one.
No. Okay. So I think that's why the main six or seven are in there. And man, reading through them and thinking of them as babies, I'm like, man, this show is so precursor to like Rugrats. This idea of like imagination and being in a playpen. And it's so funny. And also, I think even other Muppets like, you know, the two old guys whose names I can never remember? God, I'm going to sound like such a noob.
They're not babies.
I don't think they're babies, but I think they're on episodes in later seasons. Them as babies would be funny.
Maybe, but they're not. I don't know. They might be somewhere when they go someplace, but yeah.
Yeah.
They're like not old men and they're not babies. They're just like adults.
I want to say it's like Statler and Waldorf or something. It's something Statler. Anyway, I'm not going to even try. So let's talk about an episode of Muppet Babies that we watched this week. You guys can follow along. I think some of these are online, but man, a lot of them are really hard to find. And I think it's almost one of those shows where you have to buy a DVD set to be able to actually watch them. Do you still have a DVD player around, man?
No, I have no CD drive in anything.
I love that you have a record player, but you don't have a way to play CDs or DVDs.
Nope, nothing.
Two more modern forms of media, I'll remind you. We watched season 1, episode 10 of The Muppet Babies entitled Gonzo's Video Show. Just from the description alone, I can say I remember this episode. I don't remember it unfolding the way that it did, but so it's kind of fun to revisit it now. Essentially, we begin the episode with the Muppet Babies kind of having fun playing as they would, right? They're just sort of, you get the small taste of the imagination that they end up having together, the play that they have at the nursery. When Nanny comes in with a camera, she says, "I rented this camera," which, by the way, the design of the camera is amazing. This episode is from 1984, so that's, picture a 1984 camera. It's probably perfect in your head as to what Nanny hands these kids.
It's pretty close, yeah. There's just more like a...
like a handheld? A handheld
35 millimeter, when they could have potentially had like a VHS camera at that time.
Right, that's camcorder. True. Yeah. I think a lot of our home movies were filmed, like my dad had like a VHS camera. Didn't you put like actual VHS tapes into the thing?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, we had one of those. That's crazy. So heavy.
Do you think it was like obviously the format works, but it's the same technology that's literally in your VCR to record stuff, but with a lens attached to it. Like, that's kind of funny.
Right. So yeah, you had a VCR basically putting on your shoulder with a lens.
We should make that. That sounds way better. So she hands him this camera. She says, "Hey, I had to rent this camera to record one of my tennis lessons or tennis courses or something. I got an hour left. Here you go, babies. Here's my camera rental."
Like, what? Come on.
"Hey, babies. It's your dad here. I rented this auger and this huge backhoe, I don't know, construction thing, bulldozer. I got an hour left with it. Go ahead, like, have a good time." It could have been anything.
No problem, yeah.
And she just takes off. She leaves the camera with them, and they're going to have fun. We start off with basically everybody kind of gets all these cool ideas of what they're going to do with the camera, like what they might want to do. Ultimately, it ends up being Gonzo that decides, like, he's going to be a director, right? Like, he's like, "Well, you guys all want to be, you know, stars," or Fozzie wants to do his comedy routine, wants to be able to film that stuff. Rolf wants to do, like, a music video and play his music. I think Animal wants to be part of that, too. Animal's just crazy all the time.
Yeah.
But it's not until Gonzo says, "I want to be a director," that we get the first, like, basically fade or cut of the episode that's, like, setting you up for, okay, they're going to all decide to band together and do a movie. Interesting that I brought up Rugrats a moment ago, because the episode of Rugrats we did was the one where they made home movies together, where they, like, drew frame by frame, like, stuff, and then showed their parents their home movies. I think it was actually called
Home Movies. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Totally unintentional. Just calling it out here. I also should have asked you, do you have a favorite Muppet in general, Brad? Is there a Muppet Gonzo. You associate with?
Gonzo.
Yeah, okay. I was like, don't take offense to this. I was going to say your animal. I was an animal. Just wacky. Always coffee is probably something he drinks a lot, even as a baby. Yeah, I was going to say probably in the Kermit or Gonzo camp. Kermit's like a little more mellow. He's like the face of a franchise that's pretty noble and not like trying to be a leader guy. He's just like, I don't know, I guess everyone likes me, so
yeah, but he lacks any self-confidence in himself too. Yeah,
but if you ask the most popular Muppet, he's your guy.
Yeah, what are you going with?
Since you said Gonzo, I think that's probably my second choice. I'm gonna say Kermit. I'm just
okay.
I lack any self-confidence in myself. that's what I'm trying to say.
Damn.
Yeah, no, I'm totally transparent. I'm Kermit the Frog in that
case. He's humble.
Yeah, there you go. I also like his character design a lot. I don't know why. Maybe it's like one of the cutest of the babies, because it goes from being that a little bit pointed oblong shape of his head when he's an adult to just being like a sphere almost, like those perfect eyes. I love that design. So we come back. Let's come back to the episode here. Gonzo wants to be the director. And everybody's trying to, like, start figuring out roles and what they might want to do. I mentioned earlier that Miss Piggy basically just wants to be a celebrity. She wants to be a star here. She wants Kermit, her crush, to be, you know, her love interest, to actually want to be, like, basically in the small scene, he gets to, or she makes him say the script lines that basically say, like, oh, I'll take care of you and I'll save mm-hmm. you. Things she's always wanted to hear.
And I can record my comedy routines.
And I can do a music video.
And I'll be the director. Is this the end you're looking to?
I think it's the other end, Gonzo.
Oh, yeah. Just testing. All right, quiet on the set.
Quiet!
Thanks, animal. That was cool.
Shoot me, Gonzo.
Me first. I'm older.
Only by a minute.
Wow, this is great!
Out of my way, Skeeter!
Hey, Kermit! Smile!
How's that, Gonzo?
Perfect! Hey, stay in focus! You're fuzzy!
No way, Gonzo! I'm not fuzzy! I'm fuzzy! And I got a great joke for you! There was this guy, see?
Cut!
But what we end up getting is everybody deciding to band together to make one film together. And honestly, well, I'll spoilers. The film is Star Wars that they want to emulate. What made them decide that they wanted to do it? So, like,
well, they needed a movie where they all could be a character in there, and they felt like this movie made the most sense to them.
Like, it made the most sense, and it has some comedy stuff. It's got some action. It's got good music. Like, it's got a lot of stuff. So that seemed to work out there. There was a small musical number in the middle here, I think, too. I believe that happened pretty quickly. I believe every episode has a musical number of some sorts, but what child show in the 80s, 90s wouldn't, I guess. So they decide they're going to basically do Star Wars. We get Miss Piggy as Princess Piggy, Princess Leia. We get Kermit Skyhopper. It's a great name. Gosh, Fozzie Bear, I love that he has to say, like, I'm going to be, what does he say, Wubaka the Chookie? Like, he can't say it right. And he's like, no, I believe it's Chewbacca the Wookiee. He's like, that's what I said. Come on.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And what they do is, the first time you see them all together in the movie, they're all kind of picking their roles and what they're going to do. But you see, basically, them getting into their roles, and then you see them doing the credits. You know, the end. You're like, what? I actually thought the episode I found was wrong at that moment.
Yeah, when that happened, I was like, oh, that was a weird cop-out to get around any sort of lawsuit things. Okay.
Right.
Fine.
You can be Kermit Skyhopper, and I'll be Princess Piggy.
Oh, I know who I could play. I could play Wubaka the Cookie.
That's Chewbacca the Wookie, Fozzie.
That's what I said. Kuchaka the Bookie.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be Scooter D2.
And I'll be Skeeter 3PO.
Yeah, and I'll be Obi-Rolf Kenobi.
Wait a minute. Aren't we forgetting someone important?
Animal Vader!
But then we find out after that that it's actually going to be that they're going to show the film to Nanny. So the last third of the episode is the film itself in its entirety, and the Muppets and Nanny pull up to essentially their version of a drive-through, drive-in movie, rather, to watch the film together. This was like imagination inside of imagination, right? They're going to show her the film that they just imagined that's not, come on, it's not going to be nearly as good as what is shown on screen. But they also all have quote-unquote cars and drive up to the drive-in to watch the film together. It was kind of an interesting dynamic there. And then we get to see the film.
Like, where they tell Nanny, like, this is a drive-in, pull up your car. And she's like, I'll just sit on the couch.
Way to ruin the kids' fun. This nanny doesn't really like these kids at all.
She's like, how long is this going to be? I'm going to sit on the couch here.
Oh, God, Star Wars, like, all of them or just, like, one of them? And the film is essentially an abridged Star Wars. I believe mainly the first one, right? A New Hope. That's basically the most popular one, the one that people would most associate moments with.
Yeah.
But there's some great stuff about it that reminds me of, it's a weird crossover of imagination and what your films as kids probably looked like. When you didn't know how to do titles, you just hold up a piece of paper that's got the title, but you can see your friend's hand in the shot. Like, and it's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. There was some great stock footage used. Notice none of it had any of the actors in it. It was all either the CG stuff or the practical effects stuff with stuff like explosions or ships and that kind of thing from Star Wars. Or I believe they used stormtroopers at one point.
They did, yeah.
But no Vader, no Skywalker. Because I guess technically those characters were the Muppet Babies. There was no reason for them to be there. Mm. The biggest change has got to be the Death Star, which to Fozzie's dismay was a gigantic tomato just ready to rid the universe of all bad jokes. All jokes, period, I think. Wanted no laughter at all. And it basically retells a very quick version without all the nuance, I guess, of Star Wars A New Hope. And that's it. That's the episode. It's not.
That's it.
I don't know how much more to detail to go in aside from the fun surprise near the end is of course that Gonzo shows up and says, yeah, I'm actually in this too. I'm Gonzolo. And
yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
Shows up to save the day. Gonzo in a vest like Han Solo is rad. And that's this episode, man. Like they show an abridged version of a Star Wars film they made together in Gonzo's video show, season 1, episode 10 of The Muppet Babies. So, Brett, generally, what are your thoughts on the episode and kind of how do you feel about the Muppet Babies looking back at it in 2017?
So the Muppet Babies, like, I don't know, just the theme song and everything just made me almost like tingle because I watched so much of it that I was like, oh, I can feel this moment. I don't know. It was just kind of like a weird nostalgia thing to it. It's like, oh, yeah, the Muppet Babies. This is pretty fantastic. So that was cool. The show's great. I think it holds up really well. Mm-hmm. It moves. The storytelling is great. All the characters are so much fun. And they're characters you like if you like the Muppets on a whole. Like, I'm not a huge, like, diehard Muppets fans. I know there's some people out there that, like, love the Muppets. Like, I like them, but I'm not, like, I have to go see a movie as soon as it comes out.
Right.
So that's fun to see them in, like, their alternate form. But yeah, I dug it, and I think you could watch them now and there's nothing besides maybe some of this tech, like the camcorder stuff, would make you feel out of place at all, because you gotta figure they could talk, so they're around 5 to 7, right?
Yeah, but they're Muppet Babies.
Yeah, but they can talk to the adults, like, no problem.
That's true. Okay. I never thought of it that way. That makes a lot more sense. I was kind of always envisioned that they just talked to each other, so it didn't matter if they could talk or not. They could be three, and it wouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm. But they need to be at an age. It's probably five,
mm-hmm.
because they're not in school. They would probably go to kindergarten or first grade, so they're probably like that 4 to 5 range, realistically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, it's a great show. A lot of the jokes come back. It's a little bit slower paced than you're going to be used to today. So watching it, some of the jokes feel like just about every joke, especially Fozzie's stuff, which I know is supposed to be corny and cheesy, it doesn't have the quick wit delivery that catches you off guard that makes you laugh. It's just like wholesome jokes, wholesome fun or comments. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, like it does a good job, I think, even of giving adults something to laugh at because... You know, for instance, in this episode, adults might be more familiar with the movie Star Wars and its different intricacies throughout the story. So they can play on that. They can make jokes that, yeah, kids might have seen Star Wars and like the explosions and lightsabers and stuff, but they might make an off comment here or there that's a little bit more towards the adults, and I think I appreciate that in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that it just kind of came washing right back, like watching the show, that something about the pacing just felt like, man, a time before my internet brain. Like, when I could actually sit and watch a show and not feel like I needed to go do something else. Like, yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun to revisit Muppet Babies. Kind of surprised we haven't done it this long. I would actually love to see, maybe I just like kid versions of shows. Like, we just did Teen Titans Go, and I love that version. Like, that's what we got to do. Like, show versions where they're kids or, like, smaller and cute. Those are the versions of the shows that I like the best. So... So yeah,
there's not that many of them. There's Flintstone. Have we done Flintstone Kids? We haven't done Flintstone Kids, and we haven't done Scrappy Doo. That takes place.
Tom and Jerry Kids.
Yeah, that I'm not as interested in.
But they're
so
cute.
Scrappy Doo. I think we should do some Scrappy Doo.
They should do. Is there a Ninja Turtles where they're kids? The new ones, they look like they're kids, but they're not.
That's right.
Or that special we did.
But we should just do all dog themed cartoons for the next like month.
I don't know if that's going to help ease my sleeping habits or not, but we will do a dog one next week for sure. Half dog one. So I think that's going to do it for our discussion this week on Muppet Babies. Let's get out of here. Brad, where can people find out more about you when you're not recording this show?
So you can follow me on Twitter. It's @brad. And then my blog is digitalhitchhiker.com.
Great. Guys, go check them out there. You can follow me on Twitter @JacobWilliams. And of course, if you want more Toon Talk Weekly, you can follow us on Twitter @ToonTalkWeekly, facebook.com/ToonTalkWeekly. Of course, over on Google+ as Toon Talk Weekly as well. Our email, if you want to let us know what your favorite episode of the Muppet Babies was, or maybe there's a better one that we didn't quite get. This one just seemed fun. Let us know at our email, toontalkweekly@gmail.com. And finally, toontalkweekly.com, the main hub for the show. It's got all our episodes up to this point. Haven't missed a week in, coming up on 4 years now. It's kind of nuts. So we'll be back next week, of course, with another cartoon. Speaking of doing a half-dog show, we're actually going to do Cat-Dog.
Okay.
Which,
nice.
Now that I think of it, I think I like the character of cat more than I like dog of cat dog. But it's been a while. I vaguely remember liking cat a lot more. I also remember drawing cat dog, the character, because it's easy.
Yeah. It's two heads.
Yeah, just like a sausage with like two heads on it. Like it's good. So, all right. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Toon Talk Weekly, guys. We'll be back next week with another cartoon.
Take care.
To learn more about the show, visit toontalkweekly.com or follow us on Twitter @ToonTalkWeekly.